So first of all, the secretary is recovering well. We don't have a date yet in terms of when he'll be released from the hospital. Of course, we'll keep folks updated. But he's been actively engaged in overseeing and directing the strikes that we saw last night. On Tuesday, when the Houthis were conducting their complex attack, he was participating in a meeting with the chairman and the CENTCOM commander to monitor those that activity.
Was he, though? So he was leading from his hospital bed? That's what we're supposed to believe from John Kirby, that he was, that Lloyd Austin, we've been having this big discussion, you know, about Lloyd Austin and whether or not he's actually up to the job, whether he's, you know, I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is why it's so important to make sure that the people who are in these jobs are actually, like, they're there and they're doing the job, because stuff like this goes down. And golly, just the timing of this happening right as we've been having this major debate about Lloyd Austin, and apparently how people in the administration didn't realize that you're supposed to tell people if you're out sick, or even if it is for, you know, whatever it is, surgery or whatever, that you're kind of supposed to tell them. That's a big deal. So everything, we're going to break down what happened last night and all that good stuff, and it's good grief. I saw World War III trending, and I saw a bunch of other stupid commentary trending too. So welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here with you. And it's the top of this first hour on a too cold to live day. I maintain that. It's too damn cold to live. Stop it. You guys are going to indulge me, because I'm going to at least complain for 60 seconds about the weather coming up. Because I can't. Guys, this 34 degrees last night. I don't even have this many turtlenecks. I don't even know what the hell people in Iowa do. I mean, I got to have my neck covered. It's cold. All right. So first up, because we got stuff going on at the border. We got stuff going on with Yemen. So this is basically what happened. I'll dive deeper into it, but let me, because I want to talk about the domestic stuff, but let me just lay it down very quickly. So what ended up happening? So you have going into the Red Sea there, right? You have Saudi Arabia, you have Egypt, you have Yemen. And a part of Yemen there, it's basically controlled by, well, it is. It's not basically. It's controlled by the Houthis. Yemen's been having a civil war. It's, you know, Stephen Yates has been warning us that it's going to pop off here. Y'all better be watching Yemen. Yemen, you know, it's going to be, you know, the place where Chandler Bing went and friends. It's going to be popping off. So the Houthis, they've been in a civil war there. The Houthis are a terrorist group that are backed by Iran. They're completely subsidized by Iran. And ever since the response to the terrorist attack upon them, Israel, ever since they retaliated, ever since they responded by going into Gaza, you've seen an uptick in activity from Hezbollah to the north. So that's towards Lebanon. And Hezbollah is also a little satellite group of Iran, a terrorist group like the Houthis, just in a different location, that's entirely empowered by Iran. They finance them, they everything. So they've got this, it's this two-pronged attack against Israel. This is all increased in response to normalized relations between Israel and a number of Arab states, including UAE and others. And even to the extent the Saudis, who have indicated and did so as recently as late last year, that they would even be interested in perhaps signing the Abraham Accords. So this is getting into explaining a little bit the increase, the escalation here. Now, the Red Sea, you have the Suez Canal, and that's the area right there at the northeastern corner of Egypt. The Suez Canal, one of the most important trading shipping passages in the world, because it goes into the Mediterranean. And that area, when you go through there and you go into the Red Sea, then you got to pass Yemen. You got to go past the Houthis. And the Houthis act like they own the entirety of the Red Sea, the Arabian Sea, all the seas. They act like it's all theirs. And so they have determined, now this is the propped up, stupid puppet argument that people are using online and people are using on MSNBC. Their argument is that since the United States has gone into or backed Israel. And since Israel has gone into Gaza, that Israel is carrying out genocide, and they claim that Israel has blocked all aid going into Gaza. Now, keep in mind, since literally 2005, when they unilaterally gave up Gaza to Hamas, which is also a terrorist group and also backed by Iran, when they gave up Gaza to Hamas for them to create their own little nation state, since Palestine is a fictional place for a fictional people that has never existed at all whatsoever in all of antiquity and is unsupported by everything from the Quran to the Bible. That being said, it's being claimed that they've been blocking everything. They've sent aid regularly. Their hospitals regularly treat Gazans. So it's just a lie. They just want to do terrorist stuff. So their argument is that because Israel has blocked aid from going into Gaza, they're going to block shipping going through these very important passageways from Red Sea out into, you know, the Arabian Sea, out into the ocean. They're gonna block very important shipping passages. They're gonna block these transit areas. And they said they don't care if it affects everybody, because they said everybody is essentially culpable, whatever. It's Barbary Pirates 2.0. I mean, that's, if you want to just distill it down, it is the Barbary Pirates 2.0. Everybody remembers the Barbary Pirates, right? And everybody remembers why we had our military created. So this is what the, and they've been carrying out, and I'm pulling my notes up on this. So they've been carrying out attacks against, they've been attacking all manner of merchant ships. Some of the strikes that they've carried, they've been targeting our soldiers. They've been targeting merchant ships. The New York Times, this is crazy. Who are the Houthis and why is the U.S. attacking them? But I mean, the way that they put this is so stupid. I mean, for actually several years now, the Houthis have been just without any kind of recourse. They've been attacking our soldiers. They've been attacking merchant vessels. You've heard whenever I've brought up in Quick Five drone attacks or things like this in the Red Sea. That's been the Houthis. It's always been the Houthis. And finally, after they've attacked a number of important merchant ships and have taken, they've taken Japanese tankers, they've targeted everybody. Finally, it was the United States and the UK that launched a retaliatory strike against the Houthi. Now, I could potentially, and I agree with Chip Roy, I could potentially be for this because it's Barbary Pirates 2.0. They're trying to disrupt the international economy. This is economic and really free movement terrorism. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's an act of terror, and it does affect everybody. It's going to affect your energy prices. Think all the oil and gas nations, and think of the importance that the Suez and those other passageways are to energy. Now you get my point. So I don't, and as someone who hates War Inc. and doesn't like military escalation, I do see the importance of, at least to us, because I'm very selfish and I look at it America first, I do see the importance of maintaining that open and free passage in that area. And I also dispute the Houthi claim that they have every right to sit here and control this area. Now, some people are saying, oh, well, it's Yemen's area and Yemen has every right. They share that waterway with Egypt and the Horn of Africa, Somalia, and Ethiopia. They share that waterway. That waterway is not entirely theirs. So anybody can go, and it's the kind of stupid. Because I saw that argument being made all yesterday, and they're like, oh, Yemen and the Houthis, essentially, they have every right to control who's going there. Well, when you look at it, I mean, Yemen's right at the very end of the corner. They're right up. I mean, you share it with Egypt. You share it with a couple of other nations. So to act like it's just their waterway is stupid. You share it with Somalia and Ethiopia. So and you got Djibouti over there going into the Gulf of Aden out of the Red Sea. So that little passageway where it bottlenecks there, they have to share that. So no, that argument, I reject that argument. And with the Houthi there, and that's part of the area that they control, launching these attacks, I mean, it's a threat. And so, like I said, this is like the Barbary War. This is like when Jefferson sent people over to Morocco and Algeria because they had captured sailors, et cetera, et cetera. So this is kind of like, it's very similar. Now, then we get into the big debate that broke out over the response, right? And we immediately, our first recourse, and I still haven't yet moved on from it, is to claim, well, remember, they said under the previous administration that we were just going to be in wars, and now look at Biden. Now we're in wars because of him. The response that that the United States and the UK had, I have a couple of different questions. First off, where's Saudi Arabia in this? Where's the Arab League? Where are these other Arab nations? Because it actually is I don't want to fight Saudi Arabia's war against Iran. I don't want to be used as a pawn for the Saudis against Iran. Saudi Arabia and Iran hate each other. They've always hated each other. This has been just a giant, like, a giant power struggle between these two entities. I don't want the United States to essentially be an army for hire for Saudi Arabia against Iran. So my question is, where's Saudi Arabia in this? The countries that I just mentioned, where are these oil-rich Arab nations that should be policing this? This is their backyard, and these are their neighbors. They border them. So that's the first question. The second question, this relates to the War Powers Act. And there's been a lot of debate over the War Powers Act, because the first question you may ask with regards to the United States and the UK launching a coordinated strike is, okay, well, under whose authority? Now, the War Powers Act does allow for certain things, because, you know, I agree, this is only Congress can declare war, and Congress, no matter what, still has to weigh in and be able to make determinations about military action. And so this is a federal statute. It's 50 USC, subsection 1541. And the president can't take military action for any reason. You have to have congressional approval. Congress has to be notified within 48 hours. And then they all have to work together. So he can't really act unilaterally. So now it is he working with Congress? Is he talking to Congress about this? I mean, because this has been defensive military action. And he can take defensive action. The War Powers statute does allow for that, with a caveat. So that's the caveat. And this is what the framers were debating about during the convention. They said that he should have the power to repel sudden attacks. But beyond that, it has to have congressional approval. So you could argue that these attacks on ships and our sailors and our forces in the area, you could argue, and I'm not saying I agree with it or not, but I'm telling you this is what the legal force is. You could argue that it satisfies that one singular statutory requirement. But beyond that, he would be in violation of his oath of office because there is an absence of congressional approval. So that's what a lot of the debate is about. It doesn't grant him any new magical authority under any other condition except to repel defensively an attack. And you could make that argument with the Houthis in our presence there. I get it. But what does this mean now? Because this is an escalation. Now there was a warning that, well, maybe Hezbollah is going to start targeting other forces. Maybe we're going to see some kind of escalation from Hezbollah and Lebanon. So what it's going to be, I don't know. Hell, maybe it's not even there. Maybe it's at the southern border because we've had so many people cross over, which brings me to my next thing. I'm sure you've seen the National Guard repelling the Border Patrol out of a park. We're going to talk about all of that coming up, because there have been so many people that have come across the border and there's been such a lack of oversight. I mean, you really don't need to wait and see what the response is going to be over in the Middle East, because it could be right here at our southern border or somewhere else in the interior of the United States. So we got a lot to get into. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to get into some of the latest of 2024. I don't really think the cold's an excuse for people in Iowa because they're used to it. So we're going to get into all of that. So you don't want to miss. It's a very, very busy show today with a lot of developing news. And of course, we've got all the latest with the Lloyd Austin stuff. As we move, our partners over at Wise Foods, they just want to make sure that you're prepared, because you would always rather be prepared than, you know, be starving and not have any way to feed yourself or your family. Heaven forbid if there's a natural disaster or something goes sideways. When emergency strikes, you don't want to worry about where your food comes from. Buy one, get one discount right now on their 72-hour food kits, only at wisefoodstorage.com. When you go there, type in Dana in the above search bar, and that's going to allow you to access all these exclusive deals on their best-selling products, like the 72-hour food kit, $100 value, $450, two boxes with 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, and it has 11,120 calories total in each kit. Everything is made with the highest quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. They also have the heirloom seed vault. Think about your next garden. 39 varieties of seeds, all kinds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds, 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dana in the search bar to access those exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana.
Biden still wants more of your money. This time, it's called a perpetuity tax. The more you make, the more you pay in, even though you get taxed already from your income. Small businesses will get waxed without seeing the money they actually put in. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Hertz is selling 20,000 electric vehicles to buy gasoline cars instead. I don't know. I could not have predicted this. I am much shocked. I am so surprised. Oh my gosh. Can't you hear the absolute shock in my voice? They said that they made a big push into EV, but nobody wants them. So they're selling 20,000 vehicles. Okay, sidebar. I know it's headlines and I'm supposed to go through it. But when I had to take my car in and they gave me an EV loaner, I've never wanted to wreck a car so bad in my life. I've never wanted to drive a car off a bridge so bad in my life. Because all of the gaslighting about green makes me hate them. And it's a gadget. I like gadgets. I don't want to hate gadgets. I don't want to hate a gadget. It's a giant gadget. So it makes me even madder. See what I'm saying? Anyway, so Hertz is like, okay, we got problems. We got to get rid of these. Prince Harry, that stupid ginger welfare grifter who's out there in California with his D-list suitcase game show wife. So they literally were trying to say that he's a living legend of aviation in some stupid, probably pay-to-play. I'm absolutely no doubt they got paid to get in this. That's some sort of award ceremony hosted by John Travolta in Beverly Hills next week, where he's getting an award along with Buzz Armstrong and all these Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and all these other like actual aviation legends. This dude, didn't he not even fly the helicopter? Didn't he just ride in it? What a joke. Stay with us. He's getting an award.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your laptop exposed, just wide open at the coffee shop while you like run to the register or run to use the restroom. I mean, most of the time you're probably going to be okay, but what if one day you come back and you know your laptop is gone or someone's there browsing through all your stuff? I mean, every single time you connect to an unencrypted network, if you're at an airport or a hotel, anywhere, anybody on the same network can gain access to your personal data, things like your financial details, your passwords, and it doesn't take a lot of technical know-how to just like hack somebody. I mean, some cheap hardware is needed and a mildly intelligent 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable because your info can get sold on the dark web. So this is why you need to use ExpressVPN. First off, you got an encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't steal your sensitive data and then sell it. And it would take somebody with a supercomputer over like a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Super easy to use. You just fire up the app, you click on one button, get protected, and it works on all your devices. So like when I'm traveling, I'm sure there's stuff that, you know, even anime, if I want to watch it, that I can get using ExpressVPN, things that are only available outside of the US. It just gives you more freedom to choose while also staying protected online. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Dana. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. And you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
And we need immigrants in this country. Forget the fact that the farm, that our vegetables would rot in the ground if they weren't being picked by many illegal immigrants. The fact is that the birth rate in this country is way below replacement level.
My gosh, this is Jerry Nadler, who I thought that this was a joke when I first saw this audio. I actually for real did. And I thought that's real. After I realized it was real, that's a real audio clip. This Jerry Nadler, who's sitting there in the House, saying that, and they're arguing over the spending bill, saying that, well, you know, our vegetables were what would rot in the ground if we didn't have immigrants there to pick them. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. This is crazy. Has he ever eaten a vegetable? Bean potato shape does not count. Has he actually eaten a vegetable? I got some questions because that's, but you know, I was thinking about this. So back in the day, you had, it was really promoted by Democrats then. And what became the modern day Democrat Party. You had people in the United States that purchased humans from human traffickers in Africa who kidnapped them from their homes, brought them to the United States and had them pick cotton and vegetables. And here today, you have Democrats like Jerry Nadler who are all for acquiring people from human traffickers south of the border to come to the United States and pick vegetables. Wow, nothing really changes. Just the white hoods come off. Pretty amazing. Same thing. Good grief. Why has there been, and notice how you have not heard a peep about this. You haven't heard a thing. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, during a discussion about whether or not Hunter Biden actually used money that he got from Burisma in China to purchase hookers and blow, and shows the evidence of his purchases that he posted online, that gets days of headlines. This, they all look the other way because they all sanction it. That's what Democrats don't want to tell you. Because see, if you have legal, to support legal immigration and to encourage legal immigration and to make it easier for people who want to chase that animating spirit of liberty and be Americans and have them come through, they don't like that. I really honestly feel in my heart that Democrats reject that in favor of illegal immigration, because legal immigration is an equalizer. You come to the United States, you're an American, you become a citizen, you're an American just like us. Illegal immigration gives them something to hold over people. I cannot unpack that statement any other way. They feel like they need a do-gooder thing. It's hurt and rescue. By making it harder for people to come in and encouraging illegal entry, they get to act like they have a cause. I mean, it is racist as hell. That's crazy. This was not an old flashback video that I played for you. That's not old. And it's not unique either. Case in point, there's one from Nancy Pelosi. Where is it at? It should be right by here. Where she said the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Flashback. Listen to this. This is crazy. This is audio soundbite 3.
We have a shortage of workers in our country. And you see, even in Florida, some of the farmers and the growers saying, why are you shipping these immigrants up north? We need them to pick the crops down here.
Do you see this? This is not just one. There's other audio of different lawmakers that say the same kind of thing. Kane's over here dying. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is someone going to get hit?
How is this not, like, if a Republican said anything close to this?
Because they don't care.
That's
they
what
don't
I'm
care.
Saying. The double standard is so obvious.
These people are like, well, yeah, we like, you know why? Because Democrats, they want cheap labor. They want to live the life and act like they're still on some kind of plantation, but they don't want to pay for it. They don't want true equality because they need people to come into the country so that they can subjugate them and they can have them as like a, create this entire other class of people that they feel like they can be superior to. They don't want to have to actually deal with equality and deal with, like, you know, paying people what they deserve and treating them as like actual fellow citizens. I mean, hell no, they don't want to deal with that. That's why they encourage these policies. They're flirting around with this still after all this time. Good grief. It's not unique to this party. They don't care. Have you seen them anymore at the border taking pictures? No. They're not going to the border anymore because, they wanted to go to the border to act like that people were just rounding up kids and putting them in cages. They're not going to the border now because they don't want to draw attention to the fact that it is a flood. It's a deluge coming across the border. They don't want to have to deal with that. They don't want to have to explain that to people in their districts. They don't want to draw any more attention to it. If they really cared, they'd be down there and it wouldn't matter. But the way it is, they don't want to draw attention to it. So this is what happened. Abbott seized all of the city property along the riverfront in Eagle Pass. He used his emergency powers and seized city property right there. I first saw this from Bill Malugin and Ali Bradley last night. They said that the state seized all the property, and that includes the federal processing locations and equipment, and that the state is going to arrest everyone who crosses and charge them with criminal trespass. And they've been arresting for criminal trespass for months. They said Texas, via the governor's office, is holding the line at the southern border, miles of additional razor wire, anti-climb barriers to deter and repel the record high. And by record high, that was 290,000 plus people who entered the country illegally in the month of December of 2023 alone. And they said that the Biden administration has allowed for unfettered access to cartels. Yeah. You know what's happening down in Ecuador? Hell, I'm not so. This policy from the Biden administration funds it. Now, the mayor, Rolando Salinas, was notified by DPS, and they said that they didn't necessarily think that that was the best way to go. Now, Eagle Pass mayor is a Democrat, and he's been blasting the administration. There is no other way to go. You can't triangulate this, dude. Hold your line. You've been a strong critic of what this policy has done to your town. You got to hold the line now. Now, the crossing at the border, I was having a discussion with someone who thinks that everything is, they think that everything is about Donald Trump. They think that any kind of comment you make about immigration is about, golly, people. I just need people to just get off. I can't. This is a problem that Republicans and Democrats have created going for decades now. Decades. And sadly, people at the border have had to deal with it. Texans have had to deal with it. Arizonans have had to deal with it. Border states have had to deal with it. It's not about Trump. Because someone was like, oh, the problem with the border went away under him. Hell no, it didn't. It absolutely did not. Was there a different policy? Yes, but it takes more than just a couple of executive orders. You didn't get anything funded. There was nothing that got pushed through legislatively. You got some weak sauce stuff because, again, this is a problem that predates Trump. This is Democrats and Republicans. Don't sit here and act like it got better just because this has nothing to do with him. This is a problem both parties have created. And now it's just completely out of control. But this situation, this move that Abbott has made, and for Eagle Pass's mayor, I don't know why. I'm just trying to figure out, because from everything that I hear from Eagle Pass, the people are livid. They want something done. They don't even care about Democrat Republican anymore. I mean, they just don't even care. But the problem getting solved, and whoever it's by, that's the only thing that they're concerned with. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the numbers. Golly, it's still going to be crazy. Just this month, they're predicting it's going to be nuts again. Bill Malugin said that there was an overnight DOJ filing. He reported the feds confirmed that the Texas National Guard deployed armed soldiers and vehicles to block the federal government from accessing the river in Eagle Pass. They said no Border Patrol agents are allowed to enter Shelby Park in any operational capacity. And that's because, remember, Border Patrol was told to cut all the razor wire and remove all of the deterrents and to facilitate the illegal entry. This is going to be a huge state versus federal government fight. A big fight. Big fight. And finally, it's going to happen. But this is the area where, and we played some of that video, where they had Border Patrol cutting the razor wire. You remember seeing all this? They were cutting the wire and opening it up and allowing people to come through. Literally holding it back and waving people through. And so there's video out that Malugin's crew has. They were there this morning when they started it. When they started bringing in the guard and were blocking entry. They said that they're dealing with, because you got more, what's the other caravan coming up? Isn't there another big old caravan coming up already? And they said they're just trying to get a handle on it because they can't get a handle on it anymore. So Border Patrol Union confirmed that agents were being blocked by Texas soldiers. Border Patrol Union's praising Abbott for it. They're not mad. Don't think that this is a fight between Texas guard and the Border Patrol. It's not. Border Patrol's like, finally, this is good. And you have more care. There's at least two other caravans of multi-thousand strong coming through. That's not even including what's going on in Ecuador, where the cartels have taken over. There's a coup. Cartels are fighting and trying to take over the government in the whole entire country. And they've declared a state of civil war. Peru's declared a state of national emergency because of the violence on the border with Ecuador. So, but this is a 10th Amendment enforcement. And yes, we do have a Texas military department because, yes, Texas is the only state in the union with its own military. So, yes. Very interesting. Now, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of legal saber rattling from the DOJ. But honestly, at this point, I'm not sure what can be done. Abbott's forcing their hand here. Because you can't have the federal government encourage this kind of lawlessness. We're going to talk about this more coming up. We're also going to get into, there's a few other things, because this is just all the latest with the Houthi. We've got that as well. And we got culture stuff. I'm running down my list because there's a lot of other little things that have been going on. And of course, 2024, there's a big old, what do they call it? The cyclone bomb or something, bomb cyclone, something like that. Yeah. It's going to be super cold. It's already super cold in Texas. It's going to be super cold in Iowa. I really don't think that that's going to affect turnout though, because this is Iowa. Like, there's several things that Iowans know: corn, meat on a stick, and snow. Mm-hmm. Right? That's like, you know, giving us tamales here in Texas and being like, deal with it. Okay. You know, I don't know. Our friends over, veteran-owned company, veteran-founded, they employ retired and active duty veterans. And unlike a lot of other people out there, when I say that they roast their coffee, when they say it, they actually do it, because they don't import everything in and white label it. They actually do it themselves 5 days a week at their facilities. And that's Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee out there. I have Black Rifle Coffee every single morning because I want good tasting coffee and I don't want to support wokery and communists. Will, just bottom line. They also have a thin blue lime brew, which supports our police, which is awesome as well. So if you're unfamiliar with Black Rifle Coffee, like I said, veteran owned coffee, coffee company, the best roast profiles bar none. And when you become a member of their coffee club, I got you 30% off your first subscription order using code Dana. So what you can do is choose what you want, how often you want it. There is no shipping fee. You never run out of your favorite brew. You get it delivered to your doorstep on schedule, so you never, ever run out of coffee. Roast like the AK-47 Espresso, Thin Blue Line Medium Roast, Freedom Fuel Dark Roast, Silencer Smooth, all kinds of stuff. And you can also find apparel and grinders and mugs and so much more. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana and start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
People have to know because their kitchen table needs are what are important to them. And the democracy message relates to the kitchen table. Democracy is a personal issue. Freedom of choice to have when and if you have a family. Freedom to enjoy your work, have, knowing you have a pension so that your family will be secure, the education of your children, the safety of the environment in which they live.
Wait,
he
what?
Scores very high on all of those points. And many people are appreciating and enjoying it. They just are not giving him credit for it. And this is...
She is stumping.
I feel drunk after hearing her. Are we drunk? Or is she drunk?
Well, she's definitely drunk.
Does she know what democracy is? This is what democracy looks like. That was, by the way, my favorite thing from the Occupy stuff and actually any lefty protest, because you always get some like dirty trust fund, white trust fund progressive. And I always say white trust fund progressive because they're the ones who call everybody else racist. And they get out there and they have bongos, right? And no idea of rhythm, like none. They couldn't clap on beat if the survival of planet Earth depended on it. All we need you to do is just clap on beat. We would all die. But they get out there and they hit the, oh my gosh, they hit the bongos. This is what democracy looks like. Oh my gosh. That sounds, and you feel drunk when you listen to it. You're just like, wait a minute, am I sober? Even though it's like 9 a.m. and you've literally only had coffee. I don't know how to explain what she just said there, man. I can't look at her without thinking of her freezer either. Is that weird? Remember when we were all in lockdown and she opens up her freezer drawer. She had a drawer. It was its own freezer. It was a Sub-Zero freezer, but it was she had doors and a drawer. The hell is that? I want a drawer. I don't have that. But she opened it up, and remember, it was all that bougie ice cream.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that in my ever loving life. It was a whole drawer of that bougie ice cream. That stuff is like $12. Was it a pint? Like a little bitty one?
Yeah.
It was like 12, 13 bucks for one of those things. You could get two giant bluebells for that. Three giant bluebells, I think, for that. Even in Bidenflation. And I was like, we were all estimating, we think that's $150 worth of ice cream in that lady's drawer. That's crazy. I cannot see her without seeing that. We have a whole other hour on the way. Female pilots, we got to talk. You can Kel-Tec's P-15 is a must have. This is not a think about it. It's not a, oh, maybe this would be nice. It is an absolute must have in your EDC, your everyday carry rotation. And the reason why is because it is the lightest, slimmest, double stack concealed carry 9mm on the market. It's 14 ounces unloaded and it holds standard capacity of 15 plus one rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear, striker fire reliability, super sweet trigger. Comes into two versions, so to speak. You have the polymer and the metal. The polymer has a gator grip texture, easy, accurate handling. The metal version, classic wood grips for a very comfortable feel. And it's just classy looking. This is like something James Bond would carry, like the 60s version of James Bond would carry. Same excellent capacity, same game-changing innovation. You have to check it out. The P-15, it's one of my absolute favorites. For public safety and self-defense, make the P-15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at keltecweapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Well, national leaders should have national knowledge of policies. This has nothing to do with sanctuary cities. Migrants and asylum seekers are paroled into the countries. They're here legally. And so when you have a national leader talking about sanctuary cities, the reason we're having this is telling me she's not knowledgeable on the real topic. The problem is when you parole someone into a country, you should have a decompression strategy on a national level to spread it throughout the country and not target just certain cities.
So that's Eric Adams, who says that the crisis in New York City has nothing to do with them being a sanctuary city. Because, see, you stupid people don't understand how it works. Okay, it's science. If someone enters the country illegally, then they automatically become legally here when they're processed and released. That just takes away the need for any kind of, you know, going through the immigration process. You guys didn't know that because you're not as smart as Eric Adams. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, top of this second hour. And you can listen coast to coast. You can stream it on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff as well. Video component of the radio program. I am amazed. Yeah, you know, it's not because we're Sanctuary City and we told everyone, yes, come here and we want illegal immigrants here. It's not because we said, hey, we're not going to release any illegal immigrants here to ICE. We're not going to work with you. We're not going to do any of that. It's not because we said any of those things. That's not the reason that we're dealing with it. Because, you know, they're here legally now. Did you know that? Like, if you steal something, so going by, I guess this is how it works. I mean, Eric Adams said so. If you steal something, then when you are, I guess, detained and then released, you haven't stolen it anymore. It becomes unstolen. Huh. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Hashtag facts, F-A-C-K-S.
I'm not surprised with all the Soros DAs out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so if you're, you know, detained for it and then you are released, that means you are now an uncriminal. This is fun. Let's do this with lots of things. So like say, I don't know, I get a shotgun and I saw it off, right? I'm not saying I would do this. ATF, go to hell. But it's allergies. We're waiting for our hard freeze that's coming today. So it's the cedar. I'm still...
Gesundheit.
Thank you. It may have sounded like something to you, but it wasn't. It was, you know, ATF, go to hell. It was just, that's my... Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. So if I had a shotgun and I sawed it off, and I was detained and released, it becomes unsawed off after. Did you know that?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating. So what's the point then? What is the point? That's the whole reason why people wanted to. Do you know that when people were asked where they wanted to go, in whether it was the RGV or the Del Rio or Eagle Pass, etc. Do you know that the people who were detained, they were asked, where would you like to go? And they were like, New York City. Bill Melugin has people on video saying this, where they're like, yeah, New York City. And they're asked why. And they go, because they said they wanted us to come there. And Eric Adams is like, that doesn't have anything to do with why we have our crisis. Doesn't have anything to do with it. I would love to live in that kind of world. That's like the Nancy Pelosi world that he lives in. A couple of other things here with this. Yeah, they and that's the thing, as Kane notes. Make your point, because you made a really good point just now.
They label themselves Sanctuary City so that they could prevent the federal government from deporting people here illegally. And now, here we are. They have a lot of illegal immigrants, and they can't handle it. They need to lean on the federal government for it.
Correct. So they could avoid having that happen. They could avoid deportation. I mean, we remember the case with that Kate Steinle out in California, where the guy who was here illegally, violent guy, repeatedly deported, came back, killed her, like in broad daylight in front of everybody. But I mean, that's the issue that we're dealing with. They've got to do something. This has been decades in the making. All right, so can we talk about this for a minute? I don't know. Have you guys seen this? This is a female air traffic controller. Now, the reason why, let me bring this up. I'm going to pull this up because this has been something that's kind of been happening for a while. The issue of female pilots. And there's been this effort by, I guess, airlines to try to recruit female pilots. Like back in April, there was a story that says most airline pilots are men. Why aren't there more women? And they act like it's something that has been done to women as opposed to something that women have just chosen. Right? And this is like really similar too to what we've been seeing with the military. And like, for instance, the United States Air Force. Back in a couple of years ago, they're dealing with a critical shortage of pilots. But yet simultaneously, they're like, yes, we have too many white pilots. And they're complaining that they have too many pilots. I mean, this was a public thing. They said that they want to diversify their pilots. I don't know that anyone told minorities they couldn't be pilots. I think it's just something that people choose and they gravitate towards. I don't know. Like I don't understand this narrative that someone else's choice, if it doesn't validate your perception of the situation, that somehow amounts to evidence of discrimination. This is what we've seen with third wave feminists. I got into a huge fight like 15 years ago with some broad named Linda Hirschman because she said that college educated women, if they choose to stay home, betrayed their kids. And here I was, you know, college educated woman with a newborn at home reading this, and I lost my mind on her. And I read her the Riot Act and just shamed her because how stupid was she to think that the whole point of their supposed female equality was for women to be able to exercise whatever choice we wanted to. You know, I mean, women worked a long time to make it to where they could raise their children and stay home with their children. And now you got these broads that want to drag everybody out back and away from that. Women have the ability to make free choices. And if one woman chooses that she wants to stay home with her kids, it doesn't make her less than. There are women on the right. Like 10 years ago, I had another debate with a woman who portrayed herself as being on the right, who said that, like, for instance, that women who chose to stay home, that they're somehow grifters or something like that. And of course, she was unmarried and childless, and going by her appearance, she was bound to stay that way for the remainder of her life and attitude. But that's down to a woman's choice. I mean, what's the whole point of equality, the so-called equality, if you're going to still judge somebody by the free choices that they make? It's not about outcome. It's about choice. It's about having that free ability to choose. And this also is applicable to the workplace. Going back to that whole lie where they said that women still make less than men. Actually, women are outpacing men in pay. You're seeing more female CEOs, and now in every major city, more women are seeking higher education than men. Men are being detriment. It's to men's detriment. They're being hurt by this. But it comes down to women's choices. They did the survey where they were comparing like female nail techs to male doctors. And one of the things that these surveys always omitted was the fact that women, by and large, will choose, especially if they want to start a family, they will choose jobs that don't have that aren't high pressure and have less hours and less travel. That's just their nature. But that was always ignored by these third wave broads who wanted to use their choices as some sort of evidence of discrimination, which shows you that this was never about equal choice to them. It's just about destruction. You don't make yourself equal by tearing other people down. That's not equality. That's just you trying to, you know, handicap somebody else. While that's not you actually living up to your full potential, that's you taking the easiest way out. So that applies, again, like I said, to the workplace, and particularly this whole pilot thing. So they've been having this fight, and they're trying to say that they're trying to increase diversity in the cockpit. And I just really think that they need to focus on, especially after the doors blew off that one plane, I just really feel like, you know, they need to maybe focus on just, you know, like flying. And there was literally, I'm looking at a couple of headlines. Like there's one, Chicago Sun-Times, white men have ruled the skies airline pilots, but that's finally changing. Diversity in the cockpit. Does who's at the helm matter for safety? Wow, what grammar. And then you have United Airlines. They've been trying to push. United Airlines have been like one of the biggest promoters of this. Like for like going after diversity apparently more than what's the word I'm thinking of? Just actually competency. That's so stupid. But this is what they've been pushing. Like Boeing was announcing scholarships to increase diversity in commercial pilots. Do you really have to do that? That sounds like discrimination. I mean, I feel like you're going to get people killed if you're not focusing on competency and instead you're focusing on genitals or skin color. That is so dumb. That's crazy. Having pilots, I mean, when you're getting up in a giant aluminum tube, look at, I mean, whether it's, you know, terror, like plane hijackings or crashes, how well that's going to go, I think, comes down to the skill of the pilot. I mean, a lot of new pilots don't have military training, and it used to, they did. But this idea of equity in airlines or in the cockpit is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This is, they're trying to do this to medicine and everything. So you have to compromise your safety so that airline companies can check off a diversity quota. Now, to that point, I wanted to play this. This is so crazy. I actually don't want more females flying if this is what it's going to be like. A female air traffic controller is arguing with a pilot who's been flying for longer about a landing. I want you to listen to this. This is insane. Audio soundbite one.
For a short approach, if you're going to do a power off 180, that's my point.
Well, okay. I will remember that from now on. No problem.
Yeah, when you ask for a short approach, I expect you to turn your base to beam the numbers.
All right, this one will be a full stop for 65 Charlie, and maybe we need to talk about that some more because you're the first controller in 15 years that's ever said that.
Well, I'm just, you know, if you ask for a short approach is when you turn your base to beam the numbers. If I know you're a student asking for a short approach, I know you're out there practicing and you probably will extend. But if you're doing something other than a short approach, don't ask for a short approach.
Well, I will definitely look up the definition of short approach because I've never seen where it says you turn base or beam the numbers because I don't see how you could possibly do that.
Well, I Googled it, actually. Oh. I Googled short approach and it said to turn your base a beam or before the numbers and you will land probably touchdown around midfield.
Wow.
Okay, well, then I apologize for requesting the wrong thing because everywhere else, short approach means power off 180, but that's definitely not what it means here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've worked at different airports. I don't know. But just ask.
I mean, how dare you try to mansplain to this? I mean, clearly less qualified female know-it-all. You know, when you're flying a plane full of people and their safety depends on your skill, I mean, how dare you try to mansplain to a less qualified female who doesn't fly? You know what I would have said? I would have said, bitch, shut up. Don't act shocked and don't say, Dana, you shouldn't talk like that, because that's exactly what I would have said. I'd have been fired, but I'd have said it. I do not have time for people who do that kind of stuff. I just feel like life is too short to entertain stupidity. I'm not responsible for someone else's low self-esteem. I'm not here to make you feel better about yourself. I'm not here to do that. I don't care about de-escalation. Get out of my way. I don't care. Oh my gosh. I was listening to this. Kane goes, could she also explain to us how to parallel park? Seriously. Sometimes it needs to be called the way it is. All right. I just can't with these people.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Associated Press says that U.S. pastors are struggling with post-pandemic burnout. A survey shows half considered quitting since 2020. It's at worrying levels amongst Christian clergy. Of course, there were some churches that shut down. They said more than 4 in 10 of clergy surveyed in the fall seriously considered leaving their congregations at least once. I'm going to tell you, I was really surprised at the number of churches that closed and how so few churches stood against that. Out of all the places where, you know, that should have been open, when people needed respite, just saying. A tenth of the clergy said that they've had these thoughts often. And they said that there's a collective trauma that clergy and congregants have experienced since 2020. I just think the article's weird. But I also think that it's a reflection of society, really, more than anything. This is a crazy, crazy story. A millionaire con woman, she's 57. She swindled the military out of over $100 million through loopholes to splash on 31 homes and 80 cars. She forged her boss's signature to move huge sums into her accounts. She was freed without bail. That's crazy. We got a lot more on the way. The latest with Iran and Hunter Biden. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The president has made it clear. Secretary Austin is his defense secretary, will remain his defense secretary. He has full faith and confidence in Secretary Austin and his leadership. And that leadership, as we just talked about, was on display to everybody in the national security team as he in a hospital bed, still leading and commanding our forces in some dangerous missions here.
And if you believe that, then he's got a bridge to sell you. That's just disingenuous. Nobody believes that. This is just the wrong time for him to have gone MIA. Or AWOL. There were some military leaders saying, no, that's AWOL. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. And of course, this is all related to the late, what happened, what was happening overnight with the UK, US response to Houthis in Yemen. Well, in the Red Sea near Yemen. Because Iran has been trying to. They would love an excuse for an escalation. They like to go right up. If they really wanted a full-on escalation directly with the United States, they wouldn't use Hezbollah and the Houthis to do it. So they want the U.S. to be, or others, Saudi-friendly countries to be the antagonists. And so you've had a lot of shipping in the Red Sea. We were talking about this a little earlier. You know, shipping in the Red Sea, where you've got, I mean, this is oil and gas, and not just that. I mean, there's just how much goes through. I think we talked about this before. I mean, it's like one of the most important routes of transportation and shipping that exists. It's super important. So when you go through the Red Sea, you have Egypt, you have Sudan. You have a couple of other countries going. You also have Saudi Arabia, and then going down towards the Horn of Africa, where you've got Somalia, Ethiopia. It opens out into the Gulf of Aden, and right there on the corner you have Yemen. And where a lot of people in Gen X first learned all about Yemen because of friends, because Chandler Bing was going to go there to get away from Janice. Remember? And at one portion of that. Corner of Yemen there, going from the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden, is Houthi controlled. And Yemen has been having a civil war. And so the argument, as I was explaining in the first hour, is that, well, Israel has a blockade on aid going into Gaza, which, sidebar, no, they didn't. In fact, they were sending aid for decades into Gaza themselves. Stop acting like they, who are defending themselves with the aggressors against the terrorist entity. And so they're saying, well, because of that, we're going to block anyone from leaving. Except when you have two countries bordering a waterway, it's like, imagine that, you know, the Rio Grande is a lot bigger than it is, but you have the United States on one side and Mexico on the other side. The whole Rio is not the United States's, nor is it Mexico's. I mean, you still have to negotiate a shared use of this waterway. And so the same thing is said in this area. It's not just all of theirs. I mean, it goes right up against, there's like a couple of countries that it goes right up against. I know that, I mean, it's like Sudan, and then there are a couple of others. They don't control that entirely. And so the argument from the left is that, well, they're doing that as in response. So you can't, you know, Yemen didn't kill anyone. Well, the Houthi-controlled area, the Houthis definitely have. And they've tried to kill a lot of our soldiers. I mean, there have been, and these are all Iran-backed terrorist entities. So the response, it is Barbary Pirates 2.0 is what I was saying. Because, you know, Barbary Pirates, you had, how many hundreds of Americans did they capture before we sent, because we sent some emissaries over there, and then finally we're like, you know what, we're going to kick your backside. We're done. And then that's what happened. I mean, he sent Thomas Jefferson sent like a whole fleet over there. So they're kind of like Barbary Pirates 2.0 in that they're attacking all these merchant vessels and, you know, et cetera. And it does. I can be prevailed upon to accept, because there is some logic and there is some fact to this, that it is in part America's interest to have that free and open route. Because it does affect energy, it affects a lot. and you don't want to have a destabilized world economy or destabilized world because of an energy crisis brought on by a blockade through the top route for energy, for oil and tankers and everything else. You don't want to have to deal with that. So that is kind of like what we're dealing with. It's Barbary 2.0. So I do see that. However, the War Powers Resolution, and we talked about this a little earlier, it can be used. It can be used in instances of like repelling or repelling a threat or in defensively. And it does now. It's not, you know, creating a new sweeping power for the president of the United States. It doesn't give him the authority to wage war singularly. It doesn't give him the authority to declare war. It doesn't, if it is, it's only, I mean, really, it only comes into play during national emergencies and things of that nature. But it is a statutory authorization. He cannot take unilateral offensive action without the input of Congress, right? And so the way that it was described is because so many of our troops have been targeted, sailors have been targeted, and other merchant vessels have been targeted, this is a defensive response. But even then, the president has 48 hours to convene with Congress, and in anything else done after that, Congress has to have approval. I mean, maybe they're going to explain here in a little bit whether or not that's happening. But it's a check against the president going too far singularly and not introduce military action as an offense. That's the way that it is at least legally interpreted. So the authorized use of military force outside of repelling a threat or an immediate defensive maneuver like this has to have approval of Congress. And I think that's what a lot of people are wondering about this, is where do we go after this? Because Iran would like escalation. And I think that there has to be serious enough of a threat for the U.S. to make a defensive maneuver like this. Here's my other big thing, though. Why are we even having this conversation when this is literally in, like, right by Saudi? This is on their border. These are in their shared waterways. We've talked about normalizing relationships with Middle Eastern countries and Israel, but where's the Arab League and why? I don't want to be used as a pawn for the Saudis to go and fight their war against Iran. And I feel like that's a perfectly justifiable, reasonable thing to say. So much of this is just the Saudis versus Iran. So why is it U.S. and U.K.? Where are Saudi? I mean, Kane, have you seen that? I haven't seen, I mean, where is Arab League forces? Where's all this? I mean, my gosh, Egyptian. You're telling me that those countries have less of a stake in this than we do? That's where all of their stuff goes out. You're telling me that they have less interest in this than we do? I mean, they're oil rich nations. You're telling me that they're broke and they can't somehow handle defense? I mean, this is why I have these questions, because shouldn't it be their responsibility first? And then if they need help, they reach out. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is it always, oh, well, United States, what are you going to do? UK, what are you going to do? Why is it always that? I don't know. But I am fascinated that the people who were livid over the Soleimani strike are defending this. Now, I want to make, some people are, I think, unjustly criticizing Thomas Massie, because Thomas Massie was asking about legal authority for this, etc. And he appeared to agree with Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib was talking about authorized use of military force. But everything is so stupid in our political discourse. So because some people are mad at Massie because he didn't endorse Trump, they're floating this theory that he is now, or floating this argument that Thomas Massie is defending Rashida Tlaib and agreeing and trying to defend terrorists, which is such a disingenuous hack job response. He's talking singularly about authorized use of military force. He is not defending her or defending the Houthis. And if people can't differentiate between that, They are literally precisely the problem that we have in American politics. Their stupidity has paved the way for DEI and CRT and all of the other BS that actual reason conservatives have been fighting against. I get so livid when I see this stuff. It's such a stupid way to try to invalidate someone over a petty offense that has nothing to do with this thing at hand. And he makes a legitimate point. Now, I think it's the way that they're floating it now, and I don't know if you saw this trending, but they're trying to say, oh, well, who else is the U.S. going to hit? The U.S. is going after Yemen for Israel. That's not even remotely accurate. Now, that's coming from the pro-Hamas apologists within the Democrat Party. And as you can see, that's entirely not in any way accurate either. So what happens after this? Because you've got these, I mean, you've got these strikes that were carried out, American-led air and naval strikes. And this is after you've had, oh gosh, what, since November, how many drone attacks, missile strikes from the Houthis? I mean, it's so much. And American and British warships today intercepted one of the largest barrages of Houthi drone, according to the New York Times, and missile strikes yet. And that's apparently was the last straw for everything. And the shipping lanes, I mean, almost every merchant vessel, it's kind of crazy. So you've got a lot of stuff. There's no injuries or damages to any U.S. or U.K., the U.S. or U.K. Side. Now, the strikes were intended to destroy the launching sites where the Houthis have been staging all these attacks. And so the strikes were from fighter jets and Tomahawk missiles. They went after all these Houthi targets to try to take out where they were staging this. And that's why, and this is all from the Houthis, they're trying to punish the West because they're blaming them for Hamas being for Hamas's situation in Gaza now. What they want to do, they want to force people. Can you imagine like forcing, what would that take? I'm just trying to think of like in terms of fuel cost, staffing. Can you imagine the increase if you have to force people all the way around Africa? Right. Instead of just going through the Mediterranean. Can you imagine? I don't even know. So that's going to be the narrative battle right now. Although I don't think that they're being very successful. I was looking to see what was trending. I don't think that they're being very successful with that battle. Because people are like, yeah, we've been hearing, though, about all these strikes that the Houthis have been carrying out. This is, I mean, we're done with this. Now, coming up, 2024, because it's supposed to be super, super cold in Iowa. Iowans are used to snow. Iowans are used to cold. I really don't think that that's going to depress turnout for the caucuses. We're going to talk about that coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, let's see here. A 55-year-old Florida man who has a lot of prior arrests was again arrested because he stole his dad's SUV twice. It was the second time that he stole his dad's SUV. That's wild. He says he grabbed this. The guy said that his son grabbed a knife from the kitchen, held it up to his throat, etc. I looked just like that. He was 55-year-old arrested for trying to steal his father's SUV. This time, though, he decided to bring a knife to do it, to steal it. So he's arrested. I mean, why would you, if your kid did this to you the first time, why would you allow them to come back and, I don't know. This, let's see, a couple of, some of these are bad. I just can't. This guy launched into a garbage truck during trash pickup gone wrong, a Florida man. Who accidentally launched into one. A waste management garbage truck was making pickups along its normal route in Pensacola. The driver approached, and then he used the truck's apparatus to lift and empty out the contents into the truck. The driver was unaware that there was somebody inside of the dumpster, and he was launched into the truck as the dumpster was being lifted.
Oh, man.
Emergency responders had to arrive. They had to use ladders. They had to get him out. But yeah, that's, I don't know. A woman threw mac and cheese potato wedges during bizarre incident at gas station, according to police affidavit. She looks very happy with herself. Mercy Thomas, very inappropriately named, was arrested on charges of robbery by sudden snatching. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's a charge?
Sudden snatching?
Sudden snatching?
So snatching's cool. It's the sudden?
Like, snatching is sudden. Sudden snatching? Is it suddener? I've never heard of that charge, have you?
No.
I didn't. Is that only in Florida? I literally never heard of that.
Yes.
Sudden snatching. I know there's a story here, but I can't get past this. Battery, criminal mischief, witness tampering. So they were at a mobile gas station, and two women entered. They threw food, damaged merchandise, all caught on video. One of the women, that's Mercy, she was yelling at a couple, the store owners. Then she threw mac and cheese. She went on to throw the store's potato wedges under the ground. They tried to escort her out of the store. She got physical. Then she shoved them over a container of pickled sausages. They tried to take pictures of the license plate. She snatched their phone, threw it towards the road. Oh my gosh, this sounds crazy. This is what happens when toddlers aren't tempered and they grow up into women named Mercy Thomas. And then, yeah, it was just bad. It was bad. So they arrested the women. Her mugshot's pretty bad. They arrested the women, and she's charged with all kinds of stuff, like battery, all this. I didn't even know the sudden snatching thing. I didn't even know that was a thing. Let's see. I'm not reading this. Nope. I need people to stop hiding things in their regions. We've had two of those stories already. This is third.
News.
It's, you know what, though? At some point, people are like, we get it. You know?
So many hiding places.
I mean, it was a woman who hid something somewhere. And would you be surprised if I told you that the police found it?
No, not at all.
A Florida woman slaps her dad over an oxygen machine beeping sound, according to Fox 35 Orlando. It drove her nuts, so she hit her 73-year-old dad. She was arrested on battery on a person over 65 years of age or older. It's not his fault. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Beat the left on banning China from buying land in the state of Florida. We did all this stuff.
He's a climate criminal. Ron DeSantis is a climate criminal. How much money are you taking from oil companies? How much money are you taking from oil companies? How much money are you taking from oil companies? Ron DeSantis is a climate criminal.
That's what's wrong with our college.
This is wrong with the college system right there. That's what's contributing.
Isn't that something that would be nice to have in Washington?
Man, the one dude, the security dude who was on his right, who saw that guy coming a mile away, I was super impressed with that dude. He like was moving into the camera's view. Juan, if you can, first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can check out the simulcast as well. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, and the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Yeah, this one guy, he's to the right of DeSantis when DeSantis is on stage. And you can see this dude moving in. He saw this dude coming from a mile away. And he just moved in. Juan's got it on the, got the video of it. And you can see the security guy move into the frame. And he comes, he's right there. And then, boom, 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 he just runs and just knocks him to the ground. Just knocks him to the ground. Give that dude a medal, man. That is awesome. He's not playing. He's not playing. Goodness. And then they come up with their, you know what? I was looking at the stuff that they, the little banners that they have. They're not like paper banners. They're not made of hemp. They're made of, you know, petroleum products. They record themselves using phones, which are made of petroleum, that have batteries that are made of petroleum. They wear shoes made of petroleum, tied with shoelaces made of petroleum, wearing jeans made of petroleum, jackets made of petroleum. They have just the buttons and the zippers and everything else on their jackets made of petroleum. The vehicles that they drive made of petroleum. The easements that they used to even get to where they were going incorporated the use of petroleum. I mean, these people are such hypocrites. They're absolute hypocrites. No one takes this seriously. This makes me look at your issue like it's a joke. It looks hokey. Stop it. How much have you taken from fossil fuel executives? Well, how much fossil fuels are you using, you absolute butt clown? How many fossil fuels have you used today? Just waking up. Let's go over it. You slept in a bed made of fossil fuels, on a pillow made of fossil fuels, right? Did you charge your fossil fuel made phone? And your fossil fuel made charger and your fossil fuel made outlet using fossil fuels, you stupid moron. because most of electricity, over 87% of it's made in coal-powered plants. And then what'd you do? You woke up and you probably grabbed some sort of flatware and serveware made with fossil fuels. And then you used, you ate food that was grown and transported and packaged and delivered to you using fossil fuels, didn't you? You stupid butt clown. I bet you did. See, that's why I can't run for office, because that's literally would have been my response. And I wouldn't have waited for my security to tackle him. I would have done it. I can't. I know, because see, in my mind, I am 7 foot tall. My husband's, I got to tell you guys a story, because my husband, God love the man. There's two times this has happened. There was one time when we were in Wisconsin, okay? Because I'm not joking when I say I would have tackled a guy, because I've done these things before. We were in Wisconsin, and it was during the big recall, right? When they had the Scott Walker recall. And you remember how nasty that got? How mean that was? And I was up there speaking. And we were up there trying to encourage people to get out and vote in the recall and all this stuff. And we were up at the Capitol, and I was speaking, and somebody was heckling me. And I looked, and it was some big old dudes in the back, right? And they were one of these dudes is wearing like overalls, and I don't like people that think that they're gonna, I'm sorry, you guys are gonna laugh at me. You're not gonna out redneck me, okay? When you see where I come from, ain't gonna happen. All right. It's just not gonna happen. Just shh. So I'm up on stage and they were calling me all kinds of names. So me being me, you know, I literally jumped off the stage over the PA system and I made a beeline for him. My husband's having a conversation with someone and they just didn't notice that I was not talking anymore. And they're like, your wife literally just jumped over the PA and is heading for these dudes. And I was real cool. Like, I didn't go over there and like kick him in the nads or nothing. I mean, I was real cool, but I went over there and I was like, you got a problem with me? I got a problem with you having a problem with me. And they did not know what to say to that initially. And then they were like, oh, you know, whatever, you big city folk. And I'm like, you think I'm city folk? I'm like, do you realize that my family had a party line in the 90s? What are you talking about? Kane's dying. Gen Z don't even know what that is, do they? They don't even know what a party line. Do you realize that you would literally have to pick up the phone? No, this was in the 90s, guys. So don't, that's how rural, hi. You would have to literally wait for somebody to get off the phone and make a call. People be on the phone like, well, I don't know, Gladys. And you're just like, I got to call my friend. Anybody could pick up the phone and listen. This is for real. And they're like sitting here like, well, I'm like, you live right by the state capitol. Shut up. I'm like, you sit here think that you struggle. You've been brought up in a struggle. Let me sit. I mean, I don't want to sit here and try to have like a pour off with you, but I will, and I will win. And I'm like, don't sit here and do this class warfare stuff against me. I'm like, we have a hell of a lot more in common than we do otherwise. I'm like, you're just getting played by these people who are sending you out here to do their dirty work. I'm like, who's paying you? Who are your bosses? I'm like, you got some fat cat sitting in a nice suit in a warm office right now while you're out here freezing your tuchus off in your overalls. I go, am I wrong? We ended up actually being friends. Mm-hmm. We did. His name was Darren. I remember his name to this day. We ended up being friends. Second time I jumped off the stage was in St. Louis, under the arch. That was actually a big drop, too. I jumped off this stage, and I made a beeline for a guy who had been trolling me, and I got into his face. So when I say I would tackle my own people, I would tackle instead of my own people. I'm not lying. And my husband is like, stop doing that. He's like, I know that you think you're 7 foot tall. You are 5'6". I'm like, I'm 5'7". It's exasperating. God love him. So this climate activist, that would have been the response. And you know what? When he's like, this is the state ecologist. The fact that you don't know this and you're up there screaming about, oh, climate, you're a climate criminal. And Kane brought up a good point. What is a climate criminal? Like, can you actually offend against the weather? Can you?
And how does it compare to other criminals?
Yeah. What is a climate criminal? I don't like what you said about the weather, you offender. I said it was cold. I don't like it. And? I don't know. How much money have you gotten from fossil fuel? Oh, big fossil fuel ink, you mean? Gosh, I love oil. I love oil and I love gas. Yay, yay, yay. It's replenishing. People think that there's like a finite amount. You know, there's stuff that makes more of it. Shut up. I love it. I love oil. I love big oil. If I could be best friends with big oil, I would. If I could take big oil to JCPenney and do one of those photos where it's us and then the ghost faces of us in the background, I would totally do it. I love big oil. I love petroleum. I love the smell of gasoline. I love gas. I love LNG. I love all of it. I love coal. Sometimes I just like to hold some of the briskets. I love it. I wanted to be bad all year for Christmas so I could get actual energy in my stocking. I love it. I wish they paid me. Oh my gosh, I'd be like, yeah, I get paid by big oil. What? And I do the D-Generation X thing. And these dummies, who's paying them? Well, they're probably unemployed. I mean, I don't know who would pay them. But their sign was made by Petroleum Products because it's one of those plasticky, you can see it. It's one of those, it's not like a paper thing. It's like one of those, they had it professionally printed. Using petroleum products on material made with petroleum products. They're like some of the biggest offenders out there. Funny, isn't it? I mean, it just works for his campaign, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, I would want to be protested like that. I love protesters. I spoke at in Denver one time and I had people outside protesting me. And this one, I think one person was trying to say that I was a fascist, but they said that Dana Loesch is fash. And I'm like, fashionable, yes. I love protesters. I was like going out and like sell. I'm like, I will totally do that. I love it. Come and flatter my ego. I don't care. I don't get bothered by the things that you think that would bother normal people.
I never understood the logic behind calling someone that is on the right a fascist. It makes absolutely no sense. It like far right would be no government.
Yeah.
Not like more in your face. I don't think, yeah,
they don't understand that because they are so addicted to the teat of government that they can't imagine none of it. Surely nobody wants no government. What? And it's our best friend.
And in contrast, the far left would be absolutely fascist. That's, yeah. It's literally a tenet of the left. Fascism is not a tenet of the right.
It's yeah, so exactly.
It's weird.
It's weird. Oh my gosh. Can I also weird? So do you remember the debate? I'm not going to talk about the debate. I'm going to talk about this comment and this reporter's reaction to it. I meant to get to this yesterday and it like fell off the table. So during the debate, there was a moment, I think it was when, it was like at the very beginning, and DeSantis was talking about like Haley's something policies, and he was saying, you know, you can't be, you know, pay, it was in his speech, opening remarks, you know, so you can't do, you know, pale pastels, right? And this reporter, Ali Vitali.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think that people can hear you.
They can.
Can they? Okay. He's over here like, are you serious? Ali Vitali. Sounds like a Nickelodeon name. This is what she tweeted. Quote, a color scheme, pale pastel or otherwise, is not the way you attack a presidential candidate. None of the men who've been on these debate stages have had their clothes used to criticize their policies. Oh my gosh. So this reporter tweeted it. And then she wrote about it on NBC News' live blog. And guys, do you guys know what that line's from? It's from Reagan's speech. It's a Reagan speech that he made. And he used the line, we're talking about policy. You have to use bold colors, not pale pastels. It's an homage to that line. And this reporter literally thought that DeSantis was talking about her actual, Nikki Haley's actual clothes.
This is our media.
Oh, dude. Not only did this reporter tweet it, she legit put it up on NBC News' live blog.
Wait, and nobody at NBC said, hey, Like, is there nobody old enough at NBC to know? Oh my gosh.
Or I don't know if it's an issue old enough, but it's just like stupid. Oh my gosh. And then there was a third reporter, and they said that he talking about DeSantis with Haley, and he accused her being inspired by Hillary Clinton and painting metaphorically with pale pastels, an eyebrow raising word choice to attack the first female governor of South Carolina, especially since she was wearing a pastel top. Oh, it's our media, guys. They're your moral and smart betters.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the feds are charging eBay over employees who sent live spiders and cockroaches to a couple. They're going to have to pay $3 million. It's an online harassment. It's a harassment campaign waged by employees. They sent a whole bunch of stuff to this Massachusetts couple. The Justice Department charged them with stalking, witness tampering, obstruction of justice. This was an extensive scheme to intimidate David and Ina Steiner. The couple produced an online newsletter called E-Commerce Bites that upset eBay executives with its coverage. And so eBay accepted responsibility for the employees' actions. They said that it was horrific, etc. So, I mean, what brought employees to do something like this on behalf of a company? Unless they were told, you know what I mean? Like, who just does that on behalf of a company, especially in this day and age? But they said that the couple, they sued them in federal court. They said that they got they got harassment. It went even to a bloody pig mask. They sent a book about surviving the loss of a spouse to their door. Like they were going to kill one of them. So they had the spouse dealing with bereavement, all this kind of stuff that they sent to them, including harassing emails. They signed them up for all these newsletters, all this stuff. This was crazy. So, yeah, there's going to be some prison time served and a $3 million fee for that. Inflation rose to 3.4% in December, obviously higher than expected. The researcher whose work may have created the Rona is still receiving $50 million in U.S. government grants. And guess what? He's found another virus in bats. Dr. Peter Daszak, a British zoologist, is at the center of concerns over this. And he was given another U.S. grant. And there's this British researcher, and there's been a lot of outcry and protest of that. EcoHealth Alliance got a new 5-year grant in August, and the funding is going to see the group study, guess what, coronaviruses and bats in Southeast Asia. They got that, and then they got another grant. This guy, Daszak, he got another grant.
Coming.
What in the world? Aren't you so glad that you pay so much in tax? Really? And commuters discovered that their brand new $700,000 New York City subway gates can be easily opened without paying. Oh. So the MTA is trying to crack down on that. Great job. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have to ask this because in February of 2021, Secretary Blinken actually revoked the terror designation of the Houthis, saying in a statement that the decision was a recognition of the dire humanitarian situation in Yemen at the time. What do you make of this decision, and does it need to be reconsidered?
A humanitarian situation which is not completely alleviated, obviously. So what I would tell you is that we're reviewing that designation right now. We haven't made up a decision about whether we're going to revoke it or not, or change it again or not. But I can tell you we're looking at that real hard. Again, the Houthis have a decision to make, and they need to make the right one now, certainly in the wake of these strikes last night.
You really think they're going to make the right decision?
They already made their decision.
Yeah, they're Kane's right. They already made their decision. Welcome back. Dana Lashier with you, bottom of this third hour. Saudi Arabia has voiced a great concern, says their foreign ministry, over these airstrikes. The statement said, quote, "The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is following with great concern the military operations taking place in the Red Sea region and the airstrikes on a number of sites in the Republic of Yemen. And they are calling for self-restraint and avoiding of escalation." Tell that to the Houthis. And also, where are you at in all of this? Where are the Saudis in this? Are they just going to sit back and let the United States handle Iran for them? Because that's something we sure as hell aren't going to do. We shouldn't. I mean, that's their job to deal with the power struggle in their region. Oh boy. Yeah, that's the only, I really don't think that they, this has been ongoing. And have they, I was looking actually on break and I didn't recall that they had sent out, I don't think that I could see any kind of statement after how many weeks of rocket attacks and drone attacks that they carried out. I mean, that's just saying, I don't really think so. I saw this headline. I felt like correcting it, that everyone's pushing. They're saying, oh my gosh, the Swedish defense minister, Carl-Oscar Bohlin, issued a stark warning to the Swedish people because Sweden's, you know, going to be joining NATO. And they said, oh, be ready for war. And in fact, it was just like kind of like a side off comment where he was saying that they've enjoyed X amount of years of peace and prosperity. And that doesn't mean that you can be apathetic. That's literally all he said. And everyone's like, Sweden's telling their people to go to war. Where does this come from? It's being repeated right, left, everywhere. We've got enough going on right now in the Red Sea and in Gaza without this. We don't need that. We got enough going on right now. This, all of this with the, like I said, with the Red Sea, though, I know, what is it? Biden spoke about it yesterday and was detailing the, talking about the response. And they keep saying, well, you know, the Houthis need to make a choice and you better stop this, etc. I don't know if them doing this is going to be enough of a deterrent because they waited so long to do it. Because this has been weeks of them attacking. I mean, actually sending in drone attacks to our own vessels. That's what I'm saying. It's not, they're not just targeting merchant ships that are owned by different entities. I mean, they've been, this zone that the Houthis have been controlling has been pretty wide. And this, in fact, I think, isn't it, I was reading this other headline too, the Indian Navy, or the, what is the Indian Navy? They've been flexing some maritime muscle. This is from Yahoo News. It shows that now their prime minister, Modi, who's going to be elected later this year, is expected to, world's fifth largest economy. Last year, they displaced China as the most populous country in the world. In fact, I was actually just watching the episode of James May, Our Man in India, because I love James May and Grand Tour and all of that, and Jeremy Clarkson. And I was watching James May's show, and he actually went to the village where the baby that displaced China as the most populous country in the world was born. It was very interesting. But now they're looking at combat operations because they're having to deal with it as well. So they have the their prime minister. They said that it's New Delhi's significant expansion of a maritime force. That also is reflecting their ascension on the world stage. I think that's incredibly significant. And so they've always had deals kind of negotiated around them. And now, like, particularly like Belt and Road and all of that stuff. I mean, everybody's been they had these overseas bases that Belt and Road, those negotiations open in like Djibouti and elsewhere. And it really concerned Indian officials. And so now Indian officials, they've overtaken China in population. They're the world's fifth largest economy. And they're going to be displacing, they're looking to compete and displace other nations with that as well. And now they've got maritime muscle. That's going to be incredibly significant. Think about the geographical, the geography there and the location of India and then the shared sea and then where the Gulf of Aden, after everybody comes through those shipping lanes, this is going to be very interesting to watch in the next 10 years. But they're also, they're getting involved now. So there's a lot of stuff. This stuff, maybe, you know, you would have been able to have like terrorists and these terror groups like this and these sort of entities kind of drive increase in prices for energy and shipping and kind of control the area a little bit. You can't, everything has been changing so much that I don't think that they're going to be able to use that same 90s and 80s playbook. And I don't know, we're gonna watch it and see. But it'd be great if we had a sec def that wasn't, I don't know, I don't, you know what I was thinking too, with Lloyd Austin? If we didn't know that he was out, if they were kind of, if they were covering up that, then what wouldn't they not cover up with Biden? What would we not know with Biden if they didn't think that it was, that we were entitled to know this about the sec def, then what would they say that we're not entitled to know with Biden? Exactly. That's just made me, that's just thinking out loud. All right, a couple of other things. You know, I made mention of the pilot thing earlier. I was going to pull this up real quick. I've got a million things up here. The whole pilot situation with the diversity. So the Southwest Airlines, it was United Airlines and Southwest Airlines. And Lorraine shared with me that Southwest deleted their post. This was when they're pushing the female diversity in the cockpit. They deleted their post where they were pushing this all-female flight crews because the replies were just off the charts. And so they deleted their initial tweet about it. I mean, yeah, just focus on safety. Everything else will fall in place. They deleted their thing on that. So, All right, so 2024, Monday is it. So when we rejoin after the weekend, we're going to be in the thick of the caucusing for Iowa, and it's going to be super cold. How cold is it going to be in Iowa that day? Is it going to be like negative? Because here in Texas, it's going to be 9 degrees, a whole 9 degrees, not even 10, 9. And we're expected to get ice, which means Texas is going to shut down. Not me, because I've got all the generators in the world. But Texas is expected to shut down. Yeah, that's just how it is. We don't know what to do when it gets icy. But in Iowa, they're used to this stuff. I mean, good grief. It's the land of snow and corn and coats. They're like, yeah. They're used to it. I have a friend who was, okay, so when I was in college, one of my friends, I went to a university in St. Louis. One of my friends was from Iowa, and I just remember like one fall, it was chilly out, and I was wearing a jacket, and she had this like parka. I'm like, that's the most serious coat I've ever seen. It looked like something from that you would wear in Antarctica. And she was like, that's just what I have, you know, like, because it's so cold up. I've never seen a coat. There were like multi layers. There was like a hood in the hood, right? And then like when she zipped her little thing all the way up to her neck and you could pull this thing up over your face, there was like a thing that you pulled up and then the thing that you pulled up, it was like, it was so sophisticated. She was like, it's just your average coat. I'm like, your average coat? What? So I always joked, I'm like the land of coats because I've never seen it. That was, you know, good grief. We got like a puffer jacket and that's it. Anyway, long story short. They're used to this stuff. So everybody's going to be out. The argument has always been, it's going to be whose people are the most devoted and energetic caucus goers. So we're going to see that. But we'll know Monday night. The whole thing, the whole landscape could change Monday night. You don't know. We don't know. It could and it couldn't. Because then you got New Hampshire and South Carolina. So this isn't over yet. It just seems like it's gone on forever because some people decided to do it really early. But we'll kind of see how this goes. But that's Monday's the day. And so rest assured, we're going to kind of pregame it. I'll have the pieces going out to you on the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse. And then Tuesday, we're going to recap and go over what it means, how it's going to affect New Hampshire, everything from then. We're going to cover all of that. So we're going to get you set up so you kind of have a little bit of the lay of the land there.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Who are they really fighting? It's a group of cowards. They hide in tunnels. They hide behind civilians. They attack, kill, and mutilate children, women. And they do that? Stop talking about proportion on that. They shot their best shot on October 7th.
and they would have taken more lives if they could have do that, but they couldn't do it. And now let's also talk about that. Now we're talking about genocide. And now South Africa now is now bringing that kind of a trial. Maybe South Africa being able to sit this one out when they're talking about criticizing.
That's John Fetterman. Okay, I can. He gets the pass to wear the hoodie and the Steelers hat. I'm going to let it go. I'm letting it go.
What's he been eating lately?
Wheaties? I don't know. Like, this is wild. He sounds not at all like he had a stroke. It was when it felt like he was saying things that other people wanted him to say, that's when it sounded like, you know what I'm saying? How weird is this? It's weird, right? I like this John Fetterman. I don't know what to
I mean, remember, he was...
What is happening to me?
He was struggling when he had to read something. Remember that? When he had to read stuff? And there he was. You saw it right there on video. He was speaking from the heart.
I mean, and sounding... I don't know what to make of this. We like this John Fetterman? Is that
right? I like this reality better than whoever was running in 2022 against Dr. Oz. I like Fetterman better.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. All right, two things. Fruit Stripe gum is no more.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. The Chicago company told Food and Wine that they're discontinuing it. That's the fruity striped gum. I don't, you know, that's what it is. I don't know what the fruit flavor was ever. You're just like, I guess this is fruit. I don't know.
By the time you were trying to taste and decipher what fruit it was, the flavor was gone.
Yeah, the flavor lasted for 0.5 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
You put it in your mouth and it punched you in the face and then ran away. Yeah. And you're like, fruit? Oh, no. And that was it. And I think the reason why they sold so much Fruit Stripe gum is because it lasted for such a short time, you would chew it for 5 seconds and have to spit it out.
Yeah, it would come in that like 30-stick pack. Like, yeah. You couldn't get it in a smaller pack.
No, they understood the need. They understood at least that much. All right, last but not least, I don't know if you were aware, but Joe Biden this morning decided to give away a whole bunch more of your taxpayer dollars in the form of student loans. So up to 6.9 million Americans in the SAVE plan who got student loans are going to have theirs wiped clean if they've been paying them for a decade. Now, they said, here's the thing. They said if it's Americans in the SAVE plan that receive less than $12,000, I'm just going to say it. If you've been taking 10 years to pay off a $12,000 student loan, you do not know how to manage your money. You do not know how to manage your money, and you don't just have – no. I can't believe we're doing this. This is a payoff. They're buying votes. This is so stupid. That's the dumbest thing ever. If you have been taking 10 years to pay off a student loan in the SAVE plan that's less than $12,000, you're horrible at money management. So they said that, I guess what he thinks that this is going to check a box for something that's low income because all of the other stuff previously was the super expensive grad school debt. I mean, you have 6.9 people enrolled in this right now. So yeah, that's what they're doing with our tax pay. In a time of severe inflation when, you know, our veterans can't even get the care that they need, but they're going to do this. Just good grief. So that's what they announced this morning. Makes you feel really great, right? Just real. Just paying off everybody. What debt can I get paid off? I mean, I don't have any debt. But, you know, if I did, could I get it paid off? I don't know. All right, we got today in stupidity.
Well, this is Rep. Is it? Pramila
Jayapal.
Oh, yeah, Jayapal, that's right. All right, so Rep. Jayapal was out there talking about how heavy-handed Biden has been on the border. You can't make this stuff up. But this is Cut 13, Juan Decino.
There is so much fear-mongering going on that it is difficult to know exactly where to start. But let me say this. First, the Biden administration is enforcing immigration laws.
No, they're not.
In fact, the administration has been so heavy-handed in recent months that I have serious concerns about how they are conducting border enforcement.
Is this a joke? What is she talking about?
What do you mean heavy-handed? Like, what are they?
His hands so heavy that he didn't lift them to do anything on the border? Is that what she meant?
That's what I think she means.
Because that makes sense.
That sounds more accurate.
Makes more sense.
His hands are so heavy he couldn't actually lift them to do anything at the border. I think that makes sense. All right, so caucus next week, Iowa caucuses, and we're going to walk you through it, break it down, make it make sense for you, and get you ready for whatever comes after. Sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. Have a great weekend. God bless.